The themes and the content discussed in this programme may be of an adult nature. It is not suitable for younger ears.
Live and local.
After the Watershed with Alison Ferns and BB Lynch.
Evening.
Can we talk about the goats?
No.
Okay.
For another night.
Good evening.
We're talking tonight about bucket lists. And normally, when people talk about bucket lists, they have things on there like, I don't know, I want to climb Mount Everest, I want to swim with dolphins. Tonight, we're talking about slightly different bucket lists.
They could still be included, surely, those aims.
Maybe. We're talking about sexual bucket lists. So quite literally, a list of sexual adventures you wish to enjoy before you die. Things you want to tick off.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
No. Do you want just having sex? just to have sex one more time in my life.
It's important to manage expectations,
thank you.
Live and local, after the Watershed on BBC Sussex.
Seriously though, do you think it is a good idea to have a sexual bucket list? Do you think it kind of... Because you can have... If you're... There's two different types. I've researched it. You can have a bucket list of your own, or you can have one that you kind of compile alongside your other half.
Oh, yeah.
And the idea with that is that it can help keep the spark in the relationship.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I like that idea. I think I like the idea of a sex bucket list. It sounds like a lot of pressure, though.
Yeah.
Have you got one? Why did you ask me and I'm not allowed to ask you?
Oh, I haven't got one.
No.
I mean, I've got lots of lists. I've got so much stuff on those lists.
It's just another list.
The last thing I need to do is start adding sexual shenanigans on there.
Although, can I say something? Because this was so interesting. I interviewed a really brilliant woman the other day, and I won't say her name because we weren't allowed to say it at the time. She didn't have a sexual bucket list, but she was always slightly intrigued about being a submissive. And is really into that now. And what I love about this is she looks incredible. She's 50, and so she's found something that has totally blowing her mind at this age, which I love.
The thing with fantasies, though, should you ever make them a reality, are they not perhaps better left locked up in your head?
But they're kind of different. So there's fantasies, you know, me, you, Richard Gere.
You've had that one.
Not necessarily
as well.
In that order.
No.
Yeah. And then there's things you want to try. So do you mean fantasies, you know, sexual fantasies as opposed to a threesome or a bit of bondage?
Well, all of it, I suppose. I mean, they have carried out a survey into this. So the top items on women's sexual bucket lists are, at number 10, this is a bit tame, really, a sexy photo shoot.
Okay.
At 9, phone sex.
Okay.
8, using flavoured lube.
Okay.
7, using handcuffs.
Yeah.
6, using blindfolds.
Yeah.
5, being tied up or tying someone up.
Yeah.
4, role play.
Yeah.
3, car sex.
Yeah.
2, sex in the water.
Yeah.
Or at number 1, using a sex toy.
Guess how many of those I haven't done?
10.
1.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I saying I haven't got a sexual bucket list. I do have a fantasy. Not really sure I should probably reveal it on
radio. I think you really must.
You think?
Are we on air?
We are, allegedly. It involves me arriving home.
Yeah.
It's late at night.
Yeah.
The lights are dimmed.
Yeah.
And as I enter through the front door, I hear this kind of whirring sound.
Yeah.
I go into the bedroom.
Yeah.
And Paul's just finishing off hoovering the whole house.
Oh.
No, I'm joking. Do you know what? The thing that puts me off the idea of a bucket list, and you kind of alluded to this, it's a bit premeditated, isn't it? It's a bit... It reminds me of an appraisal at work. Miss Ferns, what are your objectives for the next 12 months? Well, I'd really like to have sex standing up in a cramped toilet on a Boeing 747.
Yeah.
Okay, let's revisit this in 12 months and see whether you've achieved your aims.
I like the idea of... broadening your horizons. Again, with the woman I interviewed, the submissive, she kind of thought she might be into it and then really got into it. And within the encounters has really pushed her limits.
Mm.
And so I kind of like that. And I think there's an element of empowerment in it.
I guess. I mean, the other thing, if you do one of these bucket lists with your other half, I worry that it becomes, like you said, it's a lot of pressure. And like, how does it work? Oh, you know, it's Tuesday night. What should we do tonight? Oh, should we try number 3? I mean, I don't know.
But is that like having sex to have a baby when you're just like, oh, we're doing now? Is that'll be sex again?
Yeah, and we've got to try and be more adventurous. We've got to try and do this. We've got to try and do that.
Slippers on, slippers off.
On men's sexual bucket lists.
Oh.
So they have slightly different, shocker, different requirements and requests. So at 10, it's role play. At 9, making a sex tape. Very Kim Kardashian.
Is that like a mixtape?
Yeah, no, it's slightly
different. Or Barry
White. at 8, using food. Oh, it's very...
That's a waste.
What's the 9.5 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, and messy. 7, phone sex. 6, a threesome. Mm. At 5, using a sex toy. Mm. 4, a one-night stand. 3, anal sex. 2, sex in water. And 1, car sex. I mean, you've seen the state of my car.
I wouldn't. I mean...
You wouldn't, would you?
I've often got into the front seat semi-aroused. And then with that and your clutch control, I'll never go there.
Do you know
again.
What? Though you'll love what? It tonight. Why? Give me a lift. I've had it valeted.
I have.
Oh,
you?
Honestly,
is that a word?
I don't know.
Can I say something about their list?
Yes.
What was the one that shocked me? A one night stand is on a bucket list. Are you kidding?
Yeah, at 4. So there you go. You have done something.
I've done.
Tick. And also, how do you keep the list? I mean, is it just kind of an idea you have in your head? Or do you literally have a physical list, like, what, a piece of paper?
You have a piece of paper and it has to be laminated. I wonder if it's kind of like putting it out into the universe.
Well, yeah.
Must you be very specific with your list? You know what I couldn't do?
What?
Ever. Mm. Even if it was on the love of my life's list.
Yeah.
Threesome.
Really? No. Oh. The jealousy.
I'm too insecure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Compersion. We've discovered. We've discussed compersion
that before. Yeah, no, that wouldn't be.
It's never going to happen.
That wouldn't work for me. I think I'd have to keep my list digitally.
Oh.
Because my handwriting's so bad. Right. I mean, I've lost count the amount of times I'm in Sainsbury's and I'm looking at the list, thinking, does that say tomatoes or Tampax?
Yeah.
You know, in a sexual scenario, that could cause confusion, couldn't it? And that's interesting. If you meet someone. Do you ask to see their list and then sort of go, well, I'm willing, I'll consider 2, but 10's a definite no-no.
Some things are private.
I'd love to hear from someone, though, who actually has a list. I wonder if there's anybody brave enough listening this evening who will share their list with us.
I think they will. I think since you've disclosed the tomato Tampax element of your life, I think people will share.
We're going to talk to a lady who has written a memoir all about sex and about her bucket list.
Yeah.
It's called Don't Hold My Head Down. Can't
which is
think
the best.
What she's referring to.
Best.
Can you? And who knows? This might change our mind. You know, after we've had a chat with Lucianne Holmes, we might all be going home to write out our sex bucket list. Who knows? In fact, I think we can talk to Lucianne now. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, it's my pleasure. I've been loving the conversation so far.
your bucket list, I mean, is this something that you've got stored on your computer, or is it literally a piece of paper where you've jotted down your thoughts?
I've got it in a book that's available in shops.
Yeah, you've really gone public. Why did you decide to do this?
I don't know. Well, it's kind of a long story, but I had a bit of an epiphany one night whilst watching.
Is that French for
pornography? Kind of. Yeah, well, actually, I didn't have the orgasm, but I was hoping to whilst watching online pornography one night, and I saw something on one of those big free porn sites, and it freaked me out actually, and it set me off on a bit of a journey, and I closed my computer and I'd seen this image, this thumbnail image of something happening to a woman, and she looked like a girl. I'm sure she was a woman, but she looked like a girl, and it threw me. I'd been feeling all these lovely feelings of arousal, and then I'd gone to online pornography, as is what you do, and just then found myself worried about somebody I'd never met. And I just kept thinking, I've got nieces, and I've got my youngest niece at the time was 14, and I just kept thinking, oh, this is the sex we're giving, you know, these young men and women. And I typed in lots of things that night, good sex, great sex. And the thing I really remember typing in was beautiful sex. And the stuff I got just on the first page of a search engine was really shocking. You know, generally, if you type in beautiful conservatory or beautiful pasta sauce, you'll get something that we will, you know, quite a lot of us will agree is beautiful. You typed in beautiful sex, and actually I found the results sort of shocking, quite violent. But it really got me thinking, and I was worried about my nieces, and then I suddenly thought, well, you're hardly raising sex to some divine art form sitting here masturbating to online pornography. And it just really made me think, what have I been doing, and am I having the sex I want to have? And I realized that in my mid-30s I was, that actually I kind of felt that I hadn't really skimmed the top of how amazing sex could be. It felt for me like I'd always been sort of keen and having sex and wanting to have sex, but I'd never really, I think, yeah, it really sort of maybe realized how great it could be. And the image I had was like, it just felt like I was driving around the M25 without ever getting to London. So I thought, well, what is it that I want? You know, my friend's got this expression, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. And I kept thinking, well, if I don't want to get what I've always got in the realms of sex, what do I want? And that's when I made the bucket list. And it struck me as a bit odd, because I'm a big list writer, that I'd actually never thought about looking at this area of my life in this way.
I was just going to ask you that, because before we ask you what you did on the list, how much thought did you have to put to the list? Like, did something go, you know, I'm wary of saying like pop up, but did something just kind of straight away make you think, oh yeah, I've always wanted to do that? Or did you really have to think about what you'd like to do?
I just kept thinking too. It really struck me that actually there, and I had been keen, and I've been having sex for years and years, but it was almost as though I realized that I had never been, it was, and I hate to say it, but it felt a bit like sex had been something that was done to me rather than me stepping up and shaping this area of my life. It was like I was an actor in rather than a director of the show. Yeah. And I thought, okay, so if I'm going to direct this show, how do I want it to be? And what do I want to do? And actually, like your list all sounded quite I don't know, but mine would seem, you know, it's not very sort of ball gag or latex. You know, the first thing I thought was, actually, when I think about it, I just really want to experience really slow sex. I felt for me that sex had just been caught up in these speedy routines.
Wham, bam, I've been thank maybe, you, ma'am.
Yeah, I've been moved around a bit like an IKEA sofa. And, you know, quite often it hurt. It was a bit like we were trying to get somewhere like a departure lounge. And actually, I was like, well, I just really felt I wanted to break it down. So to work out how and where I really wanted to be touched. And I also really wanted to learn how to touch a man. I realized I'd been winging it when it came to a penis. I was like, wow.
And there's your next book title.
So I was like, I really wanted to learn how to touch a man. And I'd heard that women are capable of 14 different types of orgasm. And I was not
14, you know, I was, you on say? The
one. 1.4. Yeah. I meant 1.4.
The book, I love this description. The book has been described as Bridget Jones meets Erin Brockovich and Elizabeth Gilbert wearing a strap-on at a sex party. So did you do those things? I mean, what adventures did you have?
I did. So, well, I went off. Well, first of all, I started. So I did this bucket list, and I thought, right, here I am. I'm in this intrepid sexual explorer off on her odyssey. And I was just beset by disaster again and again. I realized I hated my body. I needed a bottle of wine inside me to show my body to anybody. So that was all like catastrophic. I had all these hang-ups. I found it really hard to ask for what I wanted, like impossible. So I sort of went on a bit of a learning. I just learned loads. And actually, I think that's the sort of the method that was sort of the reason I wrote the book, because I felt I'd gone on such a great journey and a transformational journey that I kind of wanted to share it. But so I did those things, and then I went to a sex festival, went to sex parties.
Go on.
What did you wear to the party?
Not a lot.
what was it like though, the sex party? I mean, how did you get an invite in the first place?
So the one I went to that I really liked. So when I was doing the bucket list, I was thinking, I did two bucket lists in the book, because I did the first one and then I met somebody and then we had what might we like to explore? So then there was another one. And I've been on the journey a little bit more, so I'd got over a lot of my insecurities. So I was then able to make a second bucket list. But when I really tuned in, I thought, I wanted to go to a sex party, but I didn't want it to be like in a sweaty city venue. I wanted to be in nature. So this was like, this is rural. What I want to be a rural sex party, which I still haven't found. So if you find one, let me know.
I'll let you know.
Leave that with us. Yeah.
but I did go to a, it was very rural countryside, but then a stately home within the rural countryside, which was the best I could get. And that was very lovely, actually. And I sort of thought, I was really nervous, really nervous. And yeah, and when I get nervous, I sort of just talk in this really high-pitched hysterical register. It's just not what you want at a sex party.
Which is very attractive.
but I loved it. And I felt really at home there and actually in my power. And actually what I found is, you know, I didn't do anything I didn't want to do. I found it very sensual. So I think when we think of a sex party, you think of, you know, it's full on rutting. But it wasn't that. You might just have a little soft kiss or a little caress for somebody. And it's very much consent based. So the one I went to, you had to have a buddy system. There was a whole real, really intricate details about consent and also being really aware of status and consent. So I felt very safe there and nobody touched me unless they'd asked me. And that was very beautiful. Man going, would I be able to stimulate your nipples? And I thought, oh, that'd be lovely. So it was just,
thank you so much.
Very much.
Did you curtsy? How far did you go? And don't say cockfosters, but how far did you go?
Okay, well, I was with my partner,
right?
So, and I probably can't talk on the BBC so much, but there was
you did some interesting stuff.
There was some fun little bits and some bits where I remember my partner coming to me at one point going, can you breathe under there? Which I thought was really sweet.
Wow. Sweet.
But I did.
Was there any part of your sexual adventure, your exploration, that you did later regret or not?
No, there was nothing I regretted actually. But because a lot of the work I did, so I went on this whole, I learned a lot in the early stages when I realized that I found it really hard to ask for what I wanted with men. So I really had to work on that and to be able to say, you know, like people, I think, you know, when I was growing up, I think people, you know, it was this sense that, you know, to be sexually liberated, you had to kind of learn to pole dance or something or do striptease. But actually for me, to feel sexually empowered, it was actually learning to say, could you touch me there a bit softer, or just to say a loving no. And so that journey for me to really kind of step into my power and start speaking truthfully about what I wanted was really great. So by the time I did start going to sex festivals or parties, I just felt really in control, that nothing was going to happen that I didn't want to happen, and that I could create a situation that I did want, so, and that situations weren't going to get out of my control. So I felt very empowered in it, and so therefore I didn't get into any experiences that I later regretted. But I think if I hadn't gone on that journey earlier, chances are I probably would have got into a situation I might have regretted.
And is that what you mean by transformational, the whole episode?
Yeah, I found it really empowering. So, and I then went on, so I went on this sex adventure, if you like, and I think that's how I discovered feminism in it, really. And then I then ended up doing a campaign against the Sun newspaper. And I remember people saying to me when I started speaking out against Page 3, because that was what it was, and I remember people saying, oh, don't do it, they'll destroy you. You know, your people have stood up before against Page 3 and they've been really destroyed. And I just was like, oh, I felt that I had been really lacking in confidence before this journey, but actually I'd gone on this journey and actually I felt a lot more powerful and a lot more loving of myself and kind to myself. And I didn't really feel that I could be destroyed in that way. So I think I felt a lot more powerful from having gone on it. So,
are you all sexed out now?
Am I sexed out? I'm not actually, but I did then go on the journey, meet somebody and have a baby. So then that shifted everything again.
Are there still things on your bucket list, though, that you're waiting to tick off?
So one thing that I haven't really done that I wanted to do is I wanted to make a film, not with me in it, but some sort of sensual erotic film. It felt to me like, you know, most of online porn is made by men, and it felt in that way that sex was represented by men. I think for me, I think I'd got to my 30s and been quite confused about who I was sexually, because a lot of the images I'd been shown of sexual women were all kind of presented to me by men. So the Page 3 model, that was kind of decided by male newspaper owners and editors, and online pornography. So it actually, I think I'd quite like to, you know, be part of showing some different versions of female sexuality that are created by women, but I haven't yet made the sex film.
I think Alison's still, you got your equity card, haven't you?
So that's the only thing left. Honestly, it's sort of like sexual bingo. You just got one number left. You're just waiting for them to call that one last number. One final question on the sex party experience. What sort of food do they
exactly
serve?
Dips. No dips, Ali. No aubergine, no...
you have done, I mean, obviously you said, you know, you've met your partner now. We were sort of talking about this earlier. What would you do if there was something on your partner's bucket list that actually you couldn't do, you wouldn't want to do?
I wouldn't do it. So depending on what it was, I suppose, I'd see if there was a way that we could kind of come to some sort of, like, you know, happy compromise. Yes, it would depend totally what it was.
Before we do totally let you go, tell me about the loving no. How? Because I think that's a good take home. Ali, write this down. How do you do a loving no?
I think more and more that we're really sensitive, you know, in terms of... because I think we both, somehow with sex, men and women, this is like we think we expect ourselves to be kind of magically brilliant at it, and we expect the other person to be magically brilliant at it, and no one is, because we haven't really learned it. So we expect the sort of men to be these wizards who are just going to find all our kind of hot spots and be great. And so I think as much as possible to not to be like, oh my God, no, or what are you doing? But just a loving, because quite often a loving slow down, I think. You know, I think I said quite a lot, yeah, it's no race, it's not a race. We don't need to go so fast. You
very
know?
Tactful.
Very tactful.
Yeah, rather than slow down, you randy goat. You know, yeah.
Brilliant.
Or not now, you know, try to sort of, yeah, be a bit gentler if at all possible.
What happens though once you have ticked off everything on your bucket list?
You eat. that's when you order the pizza.
Or is that an impossibility? Is there always new stuff there to try?
Did you, Lucianne, find that things your it was like the gateway, and you suddenly were finding more things that you wanted to add to the bucket list?
Yeah, because I think it's quite an excite. I think there's quite a lot of exciting stuff going on. I really liked there's a conscious sexuality scene, if you like. So that's sort of, you know, tantra and quite a lot of intimacy. And there's some really great women leading work in that area. So, you know, you could go and do a lovely weekend workshop, you know, on, you know, beautiful, you know, ways to touch yourself or somebody else or whatever it is. There's loads of great work about consent, which really gets you empowered about how to ask and state your needs and what you want. So, you know, there's all sorts of introductions to kink that are very conscious and very lovingly held. So there's a lot. So I think the more I explored this sort of thing, the more I might hear of a teacher doing something, go, oh, that's interesting, I wouldn't mind trying that. Yeah.
It's been fascinating. Lucianne Holmes, thanks
Lucianne.
So much. Her book is called Don't Hold My Head Down, and it is out now. It's interesting, Lucianne saying there about this idea of making a sort of a sex tape or filming, maybe not herself, but other people in the act. That is a very popular choice on people's bucket lists. It wouldn't be for me, that.
To make a film?
Yeah, like a sex tape. I don't really... I mean...
How long can you breathe in for?
Exactly.
That would be my...
I can just... Yeah. I can just see what could go wrong with that. Have a listen
what,
to this.
What, getting out there, you mean?
Have a listen to this. This is a clip all about... it's a film about when a sex tape goes wrong. It features Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel.
Hey, I just had an idea. Let's film ourselves having sex.
This is your best idea ever.
How do you forget to erase your sex tape?
It went up to the cloud!
And you can't get it down from the cloud?
Nobody understands the cloud.
It's a mystery!
If the mailman has seen my vagina, we're moving.
Do you see what I mean? That is a worry, I think. Definitely. We'd love to hear from you on this. Do you have a sexual bucket list? And if so, what is on it? You can text 81333, start your message with the word radio. Interesting that both on the women's sexual bucket list and the men's, at number two is sex in water.
Is that safe?
I didn't think it it was.
I didn't think it was. But maybe that's because we use bath bombs.
Yeah, we need someone medical appeal yes. on this. Because I didn't think that was recommended behaviour.
Dr. Ruth. No, I didn't think that was recommended. I don't know. But then, what do they mean? They don't mean golden showers.
Oh, I don't know. I just thought they meant, like, I don't know, swimming pools. Anyway, John says that actually a night of passion with a partner you love, with someone who means a lot to you, really should be enough. I see what John's saying. You know, what's wrong with just having sex, making love to somebody you love? Why is that not fulfilling enough?
But it may be for some people and maybe not for others. I mean, I guess that's the key, isn't it? It's whatever floats your boat, whatever butters your muffins.
Right. What a beautiful phrase that is.
I stole that, but thank you.
Live and local. After the Watershed.
You're listening to After the Watershed on BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey with me, Alison Ferns.
And me, BB Lynch.
We're talking about sexual bucket lists. And they did a survey recently where they asked 2,000 sexually active adults what topped their wish list when it came to their desires and fantasies. What were the things they wanted to tick off before they died? It's a little bit morbid, but anyway.
Is it that how they want to die?
No, things they want to do before they die. They leave.
Yeah.
This place.
This place.
I'm intrigued by how they managed to get the answers out of people, though, because I went out onto the streets this week to carry out my own survey.
You are so professional.
I really am.
Nothing stops you.
And you know, shockingly, turns out that on a wet and blustery Tuesday morning in Hove, people don't want to discuss their sex life with you.
What's wrong with people?
Who knew? So anyway, I thought...
Were you wearing your gimp outfit when you approached them?
I might have got a better response had I been. So what I thought, because I didn't have much success on Tuesday morning when I attempted, I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll do it tonight. Because I just think in the evening, people open up, so to speak.
I think so.
So I took myself out onto the streets of Brighton earlier this evening to ask people whether or not they have a sexual bucket list. And what's interesting is when you approach a stranger in the streets with a microphone and say you work for the BBC and want to know about their sexual fantasies, they don't believe you work for the BBC. They start asking for ID and all sorts.
Are you sure you're with the BBC? Show me some ID, right?
I'll show you ID. Yeah, no,
right.
I promise. Yeah, no, definitely the BBC.
Oh, thank you. Not a lanyard, that's that.
Definitely the BBC. Look, we're here.
That's you. Huh?
That's us. And we're here.
Okay, what's your name? What's your last name?
BB Lynch.
I was taking no chances. If we're getting the sack for this, she can carry the can.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Can you imagine the email to management? I was walking past the BBC studios last night and a girl approached me and asked me about my sexual fantasies. BB Lynch was her name. Anyway, he was a lovely man.
Yeah.
And he did go on to tell me what was on his bucket list. So what is your sexual fantasy?
Gosh, two women.
And has it ever happened?
No, never. No, but I'm still hopeful, though.
It's something you'd like to tick off that bucket list one day.
Exactly, any day now, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, listen, good luck with that. Thank you.
God bless you, baby. Take care.
Bye-bye.
God bless you, baby. He's going to tell everyone, I met this woman. Baby was her name.
God bless you, baby. That's so brilliant. His voice was gorgeous.
I know. I should have got his number.
Was he gorgeous?
I think you'd have liked him.
Well, he was certainly like me.
Yeah. Well, he would have probably preferred both of us by the sounds of it. But what I did realise, though, was... I mean, I wasn't really sure how you respond to somebody when they have shared their sexual fantasy with you. I love the way I went, oh, well, good luck with that. So British.
Good luck. Godspeed.
Good luck with that whole threesome thing then. Got my fingers crossed for you.
You know, on the list, I suddenly thought, why, I'm surprised at something. No one once said the Mile High Club. Is that too old-fashioned?
I've never understood why anyone want to do that. I mean, airline toilets are gross, aren't they? They're horrible. And I don't know about you, even though I know that flush is going to go every time it happens. I literally jump out of my skin.
Yeah.
Imagine if you were mid.
Yeah.
And that happened. That put you off your stroke. I don't. And maybe in business class, maybe in first class, it's different. Maybe you get a better standard.
I'm just suggesting that. What about? Did anyone say having sex outdoors?
I think that did feature actually on this list. I tell you, it did feature when I was out on the streets of Brighton. Yeah, have a listen to this.
Do you have a sexual bucket list? Do you have a sexual fantasy that you want to at some point fulfil?
I have already fulfilled it.
Okay, what is it?
Sex outside in the public.
Where, can I ask?
On the beach.
And that was always kind of your wish, was it?
Yeah.
And did it live up to your expectations?
Yeah, it's good.
Were you on sand or was it in Brighton? Tell me there were no pebbles involved.
No, it was on sand. It was in Greece. I'm from Greece, yes.
Ah, okay. Thank you ever so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Keep listening.
At first, I wasn't sure what he said. I didn't hear beach at first. I heard another word.
She has a name, sir.
Beginning with B.
Do you know, you're very good at the follow-up question.
Thank you.
No, I'm very pleased to
compliment
you.
There was one couple
you.
I approached and they went, oh no.
Were they the crankies?
Before it even opened my mouth, they went, no, I'm sorry, we just won't. We won't discuss this. I was like, how do they know? And it was, they were like, no, we're not talking about Brexit. We're just not having it. I was like, no, funnily enough, I want to talk about your sex life. And anyway, they'd still rather talk about their sex life than they would Brexit, which says an awful lot.
I'm still stuck on God Bless BB. That's the funniest thing.
Do you want to hear some more?
Yeah.
These were some other, and I have to say, you know, respect to people, because I don't think if somebody stopped me on the street and asked me about my sexual bucket list, I don't think I would be as open as this lot.
Suppose a threesome would be fun.
And it's never happened?
No.
No, but you're hopeful.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And do you think it's good to kind of realise those fantasies, or are they sometimes left better off in your head?
I think as long as you're with a partner who's up for it and, you know, is kind of on the same level, then yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. Well, good luck. I hope it happens. Bye-bye.
Cheers, thank you.
We're talking about sexual bucket lists. Do you have one?
Not that I know of, maybe subconsciously, but...
Are there certain things that you want to kind of tick off sexually before you die?
I think I'm open to everything. I don't think I've ever had anything, like, properly on my bucket list. Lucky that my partner's pretty open, so if I did, I'd probably have done it by now.
The mind boggles. Do you have any fantasies?
I mean, none that I haven't already done, I don't think. But, I mean... As I say, work in a strip club, so I...
Oh, do you? Is that where you're going now?
Yeah, so I start in about half an hour, so working there you literally hear everything.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever heard?
Quite a few things about bum holes. Right. That's like the most common, I would have thought.
Oh, is it?
Pee fantasies as well, they're pretty common. So nothing really shocks me anymore.
No, unshockable by the sounds of it. Brilliant.
Pee fantasies.
What are the chances, though, that you go out onto Queen's Road to do a vox pop about sex and you meet a stripper? Anyway, she was amazing, and she's going to come on and do a whole programme with us, Confessions of a Stripper.
I can't wait for that. Pee fantasies, like vegetables or wee-wee?
No, I think we're back to the golden shower thing.
It's never far away, is it?
No.
Your follow-up questions, this is your niche.
Do you think?
You found it.
Do you know that? I have a reputation for trying to fulfil people's wishes. So for example,
me and James,
Beryl. All this week, you know, she was going to see George Ezra on her own, first pop concert she's ever been to, and she's 77 next month, and all she really wanted was kind of a shout out or to George just to kind of recognise she was there, and thankfully we made it happen. There was a little bit of me when I was out there on Queen's Road thinking, how can we make this happen for these people? Can we arrange for this man to have his threesome? I just don't think it would work in quite the same way.
No, but there's... No. No, I'm not even going to say what I was going to say.
No, best I don't. Back to the question of whether or not it's always wise to pursue your fantasies. We've had a text from a sex therapist. Caroline is her name.
Okay.
She says, fantasy doesn't always need to be played out, but they can help you get in touch with your erotic self. And then I love this phrase, we can window shop without always opening our purse. Well, we can. That is true. That is true. Yeah. Using handcuffs features a lot on people's bucket lists.
I used handcuffs on an ex.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he whimpered. Oh. And he went, oh, they catch. They smart. It was the least sexy thing ever. No. Yeah.
Were they proper handcuffs or were they those kind of pink fluffy ones that girls have on Hindus?
Well, I got them from a policeman, so I'm assuming
they were the real deal.
No, I think they were.
You mentioned policemen. They figure as well.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, people in uniform, people who hold public office.
Yeah.
So a lot of you talked about role play. That's quite a popular role play.
Well, what with a policeman?
Yeah.
What about an MP?
Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh. Really? Wow. Anyone in particular, BB, that you want just there?
I like Keir Starmer's hair.
Keir Starmer? Really?
A very attractive man.
Well, we're learning all sorts tonight. Now, though, you are listening to After the Watershed. If you've never caught this programme before, I feel like we should probably explain. This isn't your usual BBC local radio fare.
Yeah.
The purpose of this programme is that we get the chance to talk about topics and things that we would probably get sacked for if we were to talk about them during the day. And so tonight we're talking about sexual bucket lists. Why? Well, because they carried out a survey, and we love a survey.
Yeah.
They asked 2,000 sexually active adults whether they had a bucket list. 64% said yes. And then they put together a sort of a top of the pop style top 10.
Oh, what was bubbling under?
Exactly. And all the kind of normal things I think that you would expect featured on the list. Having sex in a car was very popular for both men and women. Mm. And I suppose that's the kind of whole kind of dogging thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh. Pay and display.
Pay and display. Can you? Exactly.
Can you imagine?
It wouldn't work in Brighton. There's nowhere to park.
There's nowhere to park.
You'd be lucky to find a parking
space.
Honestly,
since I've lived down here, that is pretty much all I hear people say. It's so funny. I'm interested in how people move from having the bucket list to making it real. So this woman, again, that I interviewed, the submissive, I'm obsessed with her. She went on a dating site, I think it was just like a standard one, and the man that she's now having dalliances with actually said in his profile that he's a dom.
Okay.
And I quite liked that because it's so out there and it's so transparent, isn't it?
I suppose it goes back to what Lucy-Anne was saying earlier. And actually, all the different topics we've discussed around sex, it kind of always comes back to the same thing, communication.
Yeah.
And actually, as long as you communicate
or consent are able and to, communication.
Yeah, and as long as you're able to communicate what you want, what you feel happy with, what your partner feels happy with, then really, it's no one else's business, is it?
Well, we need it to be ours because we've got a radio show to do.
Yeah, you're right.
But I do wonder as well if, I wonder if sex buckets change different age groups. So a friend of mine was saying the other day that she's getting more and more out there in terms of what she's looking for because she's been through the menopause and finds herself, am I allowed to use the word horny? Because that's the word she used. So she said she's less horny. So she's kind of looking for more extreme things to make her feel aroused. Isn't that interesting? Okay. So her sex bucket list now will be way more
racier
and out there than it was X number of years ago.
This is an interesting one. This came up in this survey as well. They spoke to one couple, and her, the woman's wish, if you like, was to be with a man who had a bigger manhood. Look at me trying to choose my words.
You're
carefully.
Miming it. You're miming it. That's freaking me out.
Radio charade. She wanted Matt. She wanted a man with the bigger penis.
Yeah.
And her partner was so kind of committed to making her bucket list reality. He had some kind of jab. Yes, I've never come across. Apparently, it says here he had a vampire penis jab, which made his manhood bigger.
What site are you on? What are you reading?
This is a according to the Sun newspaper, and they never lie, okay. as we know. No, it appears in a number of online articles about this sex bucket list story. If you were to meet the man of your dreams, James the Architect, just saying, and he were to show you his sexual bucket list, and there was, for example, a threesome on there, is there anything that would persuade you?
No. Because hard cash.
Because it's interesting. Again, in this article, there's a sexual wellness advisor quoted who says, you know, one of the top pieces of advice is that, you know, try something different. Even if you don't think you need it, just kind of give it a go.
I think the threesome, for instance, I know myself well enough now to know that's not the thing I should try to spice up sex.
Yeah.
Turmeric. If I tried coriander, that would cause way too many problems and issues ongoing for everyone concerned. That would not be what I should be choosing.
Mm. Let's see what Caroline, the sex therapist, says.
She's here.
Yeah. Caroline, you've just finished your clinic, is that right?
I have. Hello, Nadine.
Hello.
Well, thank you for getting in touch. What would be your advice then to somebody if they found themselves in the scenario I just described, whereby, you know, they have this kind of conversation with their partner, or let's put together kind of a sexual bucket list to kind of spark up our relationship? What happens if you've both got quite different fantasies?
Well, the thing is, I use fantasy loads in my work, and quite often couples can find it threatening because it means that they might think their partner's thinking of something else or someone else and not them. But as I said in my text to you, it's not always that we need to play out fantasy. And sometimes when we do, it can feel really disappointing. So sometimes actually what goes on in our erotic head and our erotic brain is far more exciting than the reality. And you can dream up the most amazing things in your head. And if that allows you to get in contact with that erotic side of yourself, then that's a fantastic, creative thing to use.
Would you ever recommend a couple or someone who's single to put together a bucket list? Can it have benefits?
Yeah. So when I'm working with couples, I will always ask them. When I work with couples, I work with them individually for a couple of sessions. And I will ask them what their fantasy is, if they could have sex with anyone in any place, and what sort of sex would it be? Does their partner know about that? And I would ask them if they know what their partner's fantasy is. And if that's a big block, if that's a big unknown, then I would work with that in session and encourage them to be inquisitive.
This is making me sweat.
In a good way?
No, in a bad way.
Oh, in a bad way. Why?
Because I think
it's about giving people permission to be as creative as they want to be, and it doesn't mean that they want to necessarily do it. You know, our imagination is a fantastic thing.
Have you ever had a couple then, and you've actually thought, you know, after you've seen them both separately, thought you two shouldn't be together?
I couldn't possibly.
You have.
She has. How important is sex? I mean, that's a stupid question, but obviously that's never stopped me asking a question in my life. Do you know what I mean? It's like in terms of like the sex bucket list, I guess it's all about knowing yourself fully. And as Lucianne said earlier, it wasn't just about having better orgasms or whatever. It was about giving her confidence, and she felt empowered to then go take that feeling elsewhere.
Yeah, so our own sexual identity is really important. And your sexual identity might not be about sex. It might not be about the position that you have and whether you had an orgasm or not. But it's how you feel about yourself as a person.
Yeah.
So sexual energy is a really strong energy. And when it works with someone else, that can be amazing. But you have to feel confident in yourself around that, first of all.
How much do you charge, Caroline?
There's money in sex.
There's money in sex.
BB will be in touch, Caroline.
Yeah, and I'll use the name Alison Ferns.
Caroline, the sex therapist there. Oh, this is interesting. This is from Sophie in Surrey. She says, I compiled a sexual bucket list a couple of years ago and I'm currently working successfully my way through it. I wanted to have sex with a younger man, which I have done now a number of times. A threesome with two men and sex outdoors. There are a few to go, but I have to say I'm loving ticking things off. It's so much fun. Absolutely love your show, but it does make me worry that I'm a bit freakish, as nearly every topic you've covered over the last few weeks I've been able to relate to.
You're not freakish, you're going for it. It's brilliant.
Oh, look, we can talk to Sophie. No. Hello, evening. Thank you so much for getting in touch. You are not a freak.
You're not a freak, Sophie. This is brilliant.
Let's reassure you. So you're doing very well, aren't you? If this was an appraisal, I'd be ticking a lot
of
boxes.
We're very happy. We're very happy. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
You really are fulfilling your objectives, aren't you?
I am.
You wanted to have sex with a younger man, which you've now done a number of times. Was it everything you thought it would be?
It's been very interesting. Some, this sounds awful, some are very confident, some need encouraging, let's say. But yes, I'm delighted that I've done it. Absolutely delighted.
And when you say younger man, I mean, what sort of age difference are we talking?
We're talking 20 years younger, at least.
Wow.
This is great.
And then you also had on your bucket list that you wanted to have a threesome with two men. Has that happened?
It has. And as it's after watershed, I can say it was with two brothers.
Oh,
Sophie!
Was it two of the Osmonds? The BG? Who's left in the BG? I'm sorry, that's a terrible thing to say.
Who, I'm not quite that old. Yes.
How did that come about, if I may ask?
I knew them. They were sort of, you know, friends that you bump into, acquaintances. And it just kind of happened one night. It was just like, let's do this. And we did. And it was fun. There was no hang-ups. And afterwards, we were like, well, that was interesting, wasn't it?
See, I think, so if we do a threesome thing, and maybe it's better with two men, because then there's no, it's not the man and the woman jealousy.
Again, I can say at this time of night, I am very open to a lot of things. I have three rules, which are no gangbangs, no married men, and no dangerous games. But also, I like to be the only woman.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to share my... Oddly, but that's just the way I am.
So you met with these two men that you kind of know, Lucy. So are you always sex ready? I'm always impressed by people who are always sex ready.
Yeah, take me a couple of days.
I need a month.
I think I am. Yes, I'm not going to lie.
When you're in that situation with two men, I mean, it must be a case of compare and contrast, no?
No, not really. It's quite regimented. There was no, hang on a minute, let me swap or let me do... It just sort of flowed.
I suppose being brothers, they've learned to share over the years. Yeah. Maybe that's benefit of going with siblings. Exactly. I don't know. But then, you know, it puts a whole other spin on sibling rivalry, doesn't it? You also mentioned sex outdoors. Where?
Yes.
We want locations. Not precise locations. We don't need the postcode, but...
You don't want to put a pin in the map.
No, I'm going to put it in my sat-nav later.
Okay.
There's Sophie over there.
I think I probably will be struck down dead because one was on a golf course, which was hilarious.
Well, that's awesome. You said that goes against one of your rules. You said no dangerous sex.
That's a hole in one, isn't it? What?
Golf ball in the back of your head, love. I mean,
Oh my God.
What's still on your list? Because you said
on my list?
Yeah, what's the biggie?
The biggie. I think that would be something quite risky. Outside, middle of the day, with a chance of actually getting caught, like on a motorway bridge, something like that. That's what I really wanted.
Abseiling. Wait, come on, let's really make it dangerous.
Abseiling. Oh my God, yeah.
There you go. You owe me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Abseiling bridge. Wow.
Well, somewhere where you can be seen but people aren't stopping to have a really good look.
See, again, I'm getting this urge. I now want to go and arrange that for you. Do you know what I mean? Let's make it an outside broadcast. We can find a suitable bridge on the M25. It's got a local angle. I can sell this to the editor. This is a winner, right?
Oh, God,
Sophie,
yeah.
Thank you for calling.
Call in again, Sophie. You're brilliant.
Look, very quickly, I just need to know whether you know this person who's literally just texted in to say, I've had sex with a DJ from a radio station. It was on my bucket list. Anything you want to share, baby?
I think we need to stop now, don't we?
Fine.
Live and local. After the watershed.